Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I welcome them once again by my friend Stephen Debo Deaton. What's up, Stephen?
What's going on?
Not much, man. We took a bye week last week, took a little break from recording our podcast. You know, we figured since all the other NFL teams can go on bye weeks, we might as well take us one, you know?
Right.
So I'm glad we did. Glad we got us a little break and stuff. Stephen, how's your week been so far?
It's been good, man. It's been busy. It's been hectic. We're into November here. Basketball season's ramping up for me at the high school level, and it's getting crazy. It's getting wild. We're halfway through the NFL season. So, man, everything's just flying by, to be honest.
I know, man. It's supposed to start piling up, Stephen.
Yep.
You're supposed to get to your favorite time of the year with the fantasy playoffs and basketball right there, too,
That's
man.
That's right. Yep. About to be there.
Awesome. Hey, tell you what, Stephen, we just said that we're at the halfway point now through the NFL season. So let's do a little recap real quick. You know, we just finished week 8. How did your fantasy teams turn out this past week?
So week 8 in the books, redraft. I finished 2-1 this week again, back-to-back weeks doing that. 14-10 overall, right in the mix of the playoffs in all of those leagues. Dynasty this week, 6-7 with, I feel like, 3 rebuild reloads, 52-37 overall there. So not a great week, but not terrible either, BJ. What about you?
Redraft, I finished 1-2, puts me at 14-10 overall, just like you. And then Dynasty, man, I don't know what it was, but a lot of my teams clicked this week. I won a couple of spots I wasn't supposed to win in, and I finished the week at 8-3 with 4 teams being rebuild/reloads. Not supposed to win on a rebuild, Steven. Overall record is 43-45. I'll say this, Steven, I don't know if you noticed, man, but week 8 was a very, very high-scoring week, it seems like. There was a lot of good performances this past week.
Yeah, there were some good performances and from some unlikely heroes, I guess you would say.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, look, no further ado, man. Let's get into this news and notes.
Yeah, let's do it, man. So this week, man, Deshaun Watson, he was out once again with an injury. PJ Walker continued to keep the Browns in contention, at least. They did lose a close game to the Seahawks 24-20. Deshaun Watson is currently the QB33 on the year, BJ. How are you feeling about Deshaun Watson for dynasty reasons?
Steven, I don't know anybody that has Deshaun Watson that's happy right now. I'll be honest with you. I had one share of him in the offseason and sold it back in, I think, March. And so as of right now, I'm okay. But if you have him as a QB1, QB2 in Dynasty right now, you're not excited about this. Steven, I'll be honest with you, man. I don't know how you trust him going forward. I mean, I know that he's got the contract situation. He's locked in, which is awesome. He's got the guaranteed money. But, I mean, if you got him on your team right now, you're not happy about it, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just one of those things. I think going into the year, everybody was kind of back in on him as a top 12-ish dynasty quarterback, and he definitely does not feel like that right now. And so it's just one of those things. You're definitely not happy with where you are with him on your team, that's for sure, especially in dynasty and things like that. I will say, I think you've got some security there, though, for a starting quarterback because he was guaranteed every dime that he just bled out of the Cleveland Browns. So you might be good on that and just hope he can kind of turn it around. And once he kind of gets going and gets healthy, we'll see. So moving on here, the Tennessee Titans this week, BJ, unlikely hero number one of the week. This guy named Will Levis, not real sure who he is, he put on a show week 8 against the Falcons. He led the Titans to a 28-23 win, finished with a stat line of 19 for 29 passing for 238 yards and 4 passing touchdowns, BJ, and 34 fantasy points. Also given DeAndre Hopkins a resurgence. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins had 3 of those 4 touchdowns on the day. This led Will Levis to being QB6 on the week. BJ, what do you think about Will Levis? I know how you were really high on him pre-draft and rookie draft. You're really, really high on him. What do you think about him now?
Steven, Will Levis was one of those guys that I had to draft in the second round of a 12-team Superflex, that Yellowstone League that we're in, and I hated every minute of it, Steven. Man, that's the thing is, like, you know, me and you being SEC fans, Steven, we remember Will Levis in his, what was it, Kentucky days?
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't a quarterback I was bought in on, man. He was, but you know, I guess he's being a little productive here in the NFL, though. As yeah. far as me with Dynasty, Steven, I'll be honest with you, man. I'm not buying them right now. I'm not buying and I'm not selling either. I think it's more of just I've got one or two shares of them, and I'm holding and seeing what's up. You know,
yeah, I don't blame you.
Man, he did this against Atlanta, and man, you know, Atlanta's not the greatest. They're in a quarterback situation of their own, which we'll talk about later. But with Levis, I'm not excited, but like I'm building offers, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I do think that he very much played better than Ryan Tannehill. And so if you're a Tennessee Titans fan, you have a little glimmer of hope now.
I'm pretty sure that I don't own a single share. By choice, really. It's just kind of how it shook out rookie draft wise and things like that. And he's just not been a guy that I've kind of looked to go by. And I definitely don't think after this week you look to go by him, you know, four touchdown passes. It's kind of one of those things. I do kind of have some hope. We'll see. The thing that Will Levis always had in his corner was that they said he could throw the football. And mm-hmm. he kind of proved that on Sunday, just throwing the football in general, just has a cannon. That was kind of his thing. He's kind of more of an old school pocket passer type guy with a really, really strong arm. And he kind of showed that, didn't he? I mean, he threw the ball up to Hopkins three times and was like, go get it, my man. You're my guy. Go get it. And he did. So we'll see if defenses can kind of adjust, and we'll see what they do. And we'll see if he can maybe, you know, get better on some underneath stuff and, you know, start working, you know, some different routes other than that deep ball. Cause that was kind of basically his thing this week with Hopkins. But I agree with you. I think if you do own him, he's a hold, and I don't think it's time to sell him. I don't think it's time to sell him. I don't necessarily think it's time to buy him. So it's just one of those things. I think he's definitely a hold.
I'll say though, man, I watched that one pass that he had to Nick Westbrook Akine, Steven, where he rolled out right. And that was a pretty ball, man. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was. That was about a 30-yarder, I think, there. So, I think he's got some interesting tools in his repertoire, and we'll see where they go. You know, they held on to Derrick Henry, so they didn't just completely go punt mode and we'll kind of see. They held on to Hopkins too, obviously. So we'll kind of see. We'll see what's going on there. It'll be interesting to watch over the next couple weeks. After a couple weeks of mediocre play, the Dallas Cowboys offense put on a performance, BJ, against the Rams. They secured their win with a score of 43-20. And Dak finished the week as QB3 with a stat line of 25-31, 304 yards.
Oh, wait, that's not one touchdown, excuse me.
It was four touchdowns, 37.06 fantasy points. And some guy, I think that, we've kind of talked about a little bit on the pod, CeeDee Lamb, he's a receiver, if you didn't know, put up some crazy numbers this week. Wide receiver one, 41 PPR points, BJ. Man, I'm happy I traded for him in that league, and I like him a lot. I feel like he's underrated. I feel like he's criminally underrated. I think he can put up numbers with Chase and Jefferson, and I feel like he's just, you know, I don't feel like he's far off of those guys at all, and I'm glad I was able to get a share and things of that nature. But anyway, I digress. Stat line of 12 catches on 14 targets, 158 yards, and two touchdowns. BJ, is this the type of offensive performance that we can expect from Dak and CD and the Cowboys moving forward, or was just a one-off?
Steven, it is crazy what happens when you give CD Lamb targets, man. I know that I've said this before, Steven, but I've been a CD truther for a while. I think right now I have like a 56, something like that, percent of shares of him right now in all my leagues. And so I was happy with this performance. It was awesome to watch that. As far as can I bank on the Dallas Cowboys doing this week by week, I'm not there yet. I think that CD, like what you said, he is still my wide receiver three in my dynasty rankings. I have him right up there in a tier below Jefferson and Chase. If he started getting this much productivity, though, if he had this much of a target share on a week by week basis, I think he would be in that category for me as well, though, Steven. I've got a couple of shares of Dak as well as my QB2 and a couple of super flex leagues. And, you know, he's been consistent all season long. He's been a solid QB2, putting up right around, you know, 15 points a game, things like that. But I think this week gave us a lot of, I think a lot of hope for this offense, man. I know that Los Angeles struggled in this game. I know that Matt Stafford did not look good. He had an injury we'll talk about later as well. But I don't want to say it's a fluke, Steven, but also I don't want to cash in on it right now and bank on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. Let me say that. I'm hopeful. And I'll just kind of leave it at that. I'm really hopeful that this is what we can kind of come to expect. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I can't put my faith in McCarthy, man.
Yeah, I know. That's the holdup. I think that's the holdup for anybody, really and truly. But we'll see. Moving on here, even though they lost a close game this week against the Philadelphia Phillies, BJ, the Sam Howell-led Commanders, they fought until the very end. The passing game for the Commanders seemed to have found new life as Eric Bieniemy got the offense going early and often. How are you feeling about Sam Howell, BJ, moving forward? The performance he just finished this week, QB1, 397 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. What are you feeling about? What are you feeling? How are you feeling about Sam Howell, BJ?
He's bumping up my rankings a little bit, Steven. I'll be honest with you, man. One thing that I'm seeing a trend with is that they are getting really, really used to Sam Howell throwing more than 40 times a game the past couple weeks. I actually streamed him this past week in a redraft league, Steven, and ended up, I think I lost for like 5 points, but he being the QB1 of the week really helped me out there. But man, Sam Howell is not a bad quarterback by any means. And the thing about him is that he's going to spread the ball around. There is not a this may get some hate, but I don't think there's a true alpha in that offense with the receiving core. I mean, McLaurin's good. Dotson's okay. He had a good game this past week. And Curtis Samuel's still going to get his targets. But Howell's looking everywhere, man. And the thing about it is that if he's throwing 40, 50 times a game, he threw like 54 times this past week.
Yeah.
If he's throwing 40, 50 times a game, then I'm cool throwing him in there as my QB2, you know?
Yeah. No. Yeah, I agree. I actually talked to a Commanders fan today, and I asked him, you know, what's the consensus on Sam Howell is from a fan base perspective and from just the Washington probably perspective, because I don't listen to Washington beat writers or mm-mm. follow anything like that.
Why would you?
and then coming from this guy now, he says that Howell is a bridge quarterback. He said he's not the answer. He says Sam Howell takes a lot of sacks that are kind of on him. He said he knew the offensive line was bad. He said, but he felt like he takes a lot of sacks. It's not on him. He just says he's a bridge quarterback. Now, I don't know that I fully agree with that, but I don't know that it's far, far off. Yeah. It's just early and hard to tell, you know. I mean, where do you want to rank him dynasty-wise? I think he's probably got the job the rest of this year. I think he's maybe probably even got the job next mm-hmm. year. Next year is going to be the determining factor for him, yeah. though. You know, he's going to have to have a legit year next year, and then I think they'll decide, do we stick with him? Do we start building around him, or do we go another way? But I do think he's got at least this year and next year, and then we'll kind of decide. So you can, you know, have your rankings accordingly based off that information.
Yeah, I mean, Steven, we talked about it too, man. We played dynasty in that 2 to 3 year window.
Mm-hmm,
and
yep.
So, I mean, if that's the case, I think he's inching up a little bit.
Yep. Yep. Joshua Dobbs was traded this week, man, to the Vikings after season ending Achilles injury to Kirk Cousins. It looks like he will sit the first week here, and Jaren Hall will get the start, a fifth-round rookie pick. But as far as Dobbs goes, does he have sustainable value, BJ? And what's the outlook this year for the rest of this year anyway on the weapons in Minnesota, meaning T.J. Hockenson, meaning obviously Justin Jefferson if he comes back, and Jordan Addison? What's the outlook on those guys?
As far as Dobbs' sustainable value, I get similar vibes as Baker Mayfield in Los Angeles last year, Steven,
yep.
To where I feel like he's going to do good. But now, does he have that job next year? I think there's kind of a low percentage chance, you know. As far as the outlook for the weapons there, I mean, look at what he did in Arizona. I mean, he made Zach Ertz relevant, you know. And not only that, so I'm not really worried about T.J. Hockenson. Hollywood Brown has some good games as well. And so my thing is that when you're playing with, honestly, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, Justin Jefferson, who should be coming back next week. So just a heads up on that. There was a report that came out that said he's going to be back sooner rather than later. And then also you've got one of the best tight ends in the league. I think that Dobbs for fantasy is going to be usable. And I think that the weapons, I'm sure they're going to take a little bit of a hit, but I think their talent's going to outweigh their situation, Stephen. I still think that they are going to be right up there as a tight end one and a wide receiver one in fantasy.
Yep. No, I agree with you. I think so too. And it'll be interesting to watch. All right, BJ, let's go over some sections here that we don't really love to talk about. Just mentioned it, probably the biggest injury of the week. Kirk Cousins torn Achilles out for the season. Wishing him a speedy recovery. I saw that head coach Kevin O'Connell, right, said that he hoped Cousins would be back next year, that he was playing probably the best he'd ever seen him play as far as a personal level and a performance level and professional level even, and you know, hate this for him. I don't know if you watched it, BJ. I think we talked about it a little bit, but the show Quarterback that was on Netflix last season, it was last season's, obviously last NFL season, but it followed Kirk Cousins the whole way and kind of gives you the insight of what he goes through and what he went through on a day-to-day, and gave you a little insight on his family life. Dude's just a good dude, man. He's just a good dude. You could see it. Not many people that have the kind of money that he has and lives the life that he lives, you know, lives the way that he lives, I guess I'll say that. And so I feel for him, feel for the recovery he's going to have, because I know it's going to be excruciating. And you know, hopefully I guarantee he's probably reached out to Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, you'd have to think you'd have to almost guarantee that he had. So we'll see. Wish for a speedy recovery here. Hate it for him. Matthew Stafford.
Hey, Stephen, real quick. I know you said something about you having a share of Kirk Cousins. What are you doing with him in Dynasty right now?
I think you just got to hold him. I mean, I don't know what else you do with him. I mean, people don't want to trade for hurt people and give you anything of any real relevance. They just don't. I've seen that. I've seen that this year more than any. And I'm a guy that'll trade for somebody hurt. Now, I'm going to get him at a discount, but I'm not going to give pennies like the people that I have tried to trade with. I've had Chubb in a few leagues. I got Mike Williams in a few leagues. I've tried to trade them, and it's penny. You know, people are just wanting pennies. And I get it. They're big injuries. They're season-ending injuries. But there's always next year. And if you're a punter, why not try to take a stab on a guy at a discount? Not, you know, not just say, well, screw it. You know, people aren't going to give up Kirk Cousins and Nick Chubb for thirds. It's just not going to happen, you know. And so, or even seconds, or 1 second, I'll say that. So, it's just one of those things. And if you have Kirk Cousins or Chubb and you're selling, you're not looking for picks anyway. You're looking for players that can help you most likely.
Absolutely.
So, it's just one of those things. I think he's probably a hold because you're not going to get what you want or need. So, he's probably just a hold.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, so moving forward, Matthew Stafford, he has a sprained UCL in his thumb. He's questionable for this week. I think did McVay say today that IR was off the table for Stafford?
Did I
see that? So doesn't look as super serious. This is the same injury that Breeze had a few years ago. Remember, he had same type injury. He went for a throw, hit his thumb on a guy's helmet. He was out for 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Had to learn, you know, had to just get back in it. I think maybe in his last year. Can't remember if it was last year, year before last. But anyway, so it is an injury that can hold him out, but, you know, maybe not too bad. McVay did say IR is off the table for Stafford. So we'll see. Questionable for week 9. Pickett planning to play Thursday night. Knee injury. Daniel Jones cleared for practice after missing multiple games. He's hoping to play this week. Tyrod Taylor fractured rib out week 9. Looked like he got hit hard, and I think he was actually taken to the hospital. Of course, he's had some lung stuff in the past, so probably precautionary more than anything. But fractured rib for him. He's out week 9. Drake London groin injury, looking like he's going to play. Kendrick Bourne torn ACL out for the season. Curtis Samuel toe injury. He's questionable. And Darren Waller groin injury. Questionable for week 9. So just be sure you're checking your injuries. Be sure you're checking. It's all this time of the year. There's always people popping up on the injury report. So just be sure you're checking, making sure your guys are in or out or whatever you need to do on there. BJ, I'm turning it over to you for our sneaky flex play.
All right, man. So, look, we took a break last week, man. Just a heads up, if we were going to do one, I was going to say start Deontay Johnson, who just put up like 16 PPR points. So I'm going to count that a win in my book. This week, my sneaky flex play. All right, look, man, I know this guy got off to a terrible start. Okay. And I know that there was a lot of hype going into the offseason, but I think it's time we plug Jahan Dotson into our flex positions. Sam Howell has been slinging the ball like crazy this season, and Dotson's been a recipient of his great performances the past 2 weeks, as he's seen a total of 18 targets in 2 weeks, Stephen. Last week, Dotson saw 10 targets, where he finished the week as the wide receiver 7 with 8 receptions, 108 yards, and a touchdown. This week, the Commanders play the New England defense that currently ranks 17th against the pass and 9th against the run. So I'm expecting the Commanders to kind of do something similar to what they did last week. They didn't necessarily abandon the run, but they focused a lot of their attention on the pass, which they had to because it was Philadelphia. But I'm expecting them to do something very, very similar and let Howell throw more than 40 times this game. And so throw Dotson in your flex and watch him produce at least 10-plus PPR points. I'm expecting another bounce-back game.
Yeah, man, I like it. I like it a lot. I think he's probably going to bounce back. Like you said, the Sam Howell's been slinging the ball everywhere, and we just talked about him earlier. And Dotson's kind of taking a step, looks like, here lately. So I like it a lot.
Awesome. And another thing to make mention of too, if Curtis Samuel does miss this game with a toe injury, that helps your cause even more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Steven, let's turn it over to your Thursday night specials, the underdog, man.
Man, yeah, let's do it. Let's get back into this underdog segment. We're gonna go by the wayside for last week or the week we were out. I don't even remember, honestly. We did take the bye last week. So we're just gonna jump right into this week. I got two Thursday night specials for you guys, and I want to give you one right here. Derrick Henry over 87.5 rushing and receiving yards. BJ, the trade deadline come and gone. Derrick Henry's name was kind of hot, but he's staying. He's staying with the Titans. Will Levis is starting his second game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think after this 4 TD performance, I do look for him to maybe dial back just a little bit this week. And again, with Henry staying in Tennessee, I think they'll try to lean heavy on Henry and keep Will Levis upright and from making many mistakes, right? And so I think they'll lean really heavy on him. Henry's used in the passing game. Henry's used in the rushing game. He's staying in Tennessee. No need at this point to, you know, try to manage him or workload manage him. I think they run him out there, and I think they use him this week. Give me the over 87.5 rushing and receiving yards. BJ, my second one here is Najee Harris. So we're going back-to-back running backs on a Thursday night game, BJ. Najee Harris over 8.5 receiving yards. BJ, last week Najee racked up 5 receptions for 42 yards. I think this line is very attainable, right? With just one catch, you know, with Najee Harris's talent. I know everybody probably in the community is low on Najee Harris at this point, but 8.5 receiving yards, that can be had in one catch. And I do think Pickett, he'll try to keep him upright. He's got a knee injury. They want to keep him in the pocket. And he's probably going to check it down to Najee when he has to because of pressure, and they'll have him that outlet there. So I like these lines for Thursday night. Najee Harris over 8.5 receiving yards, and Derrick Henry over 87.5 rushing and receiving yards.
Dude, I love these plays, Steve, and I'll be honest with you, man. Love the I guess logic behind it. Derrick Henry, obviously, man. He just finished this past week with 22 rushing attempts, Stephen. And if they're starting Will Levis against the Pittsburgh defense, which ain't the greatest, I think that he will 100% have more than 87.5 total yards. Yeah, and then with Najee Harris, man, Najee Harris is one of the best receiving backs in the league. He just doesn't get a lot of opportunities there. And so I think Pickett's going to have a little Big Ben moment this week, Steve. But I think he's going to dump it off a couple of times, making sure he don't get injured. So I love this.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, man, we want to take this time, guys, and just thank our listeners. We appreciate each and every one of you guys. Each and every listen that you actually partake in, we appreciate. You can follow each of us on X. My handle is at FRDynamics116. Stevens is at SDeaton24. And the pods is at LOL Dynasty Pod. Guys, it's getting close, man. We're over that halfway mark now, and we are seeing a lot of teams still not choosing their direction. I know that I am, Steven. And so I'm seeing a lot of teams that need to be rebuilding that ain't making any moves, and I'm seeing a lot of teams that need to push in and go for it, and they're just sitting there middle of the pack. And so, man, now is the time, listeners. Now's the time to make your moves. Quit throwing players on the trade block and expecting people to come to you. Instead, be proactive. Make those moves. Send those offers. And choose a direction. And so we hope that you guys are successful in all of your fantasy endeavors. Steven, you got anything else you want to close them out with?
Man, no. You hit it. You hit the nail on the head. Go get your guys.
Awesome, guys. You have a good week.
Thank you.